Could have been a healthy 90 or a sickly 40 or anywhere in between. All that combined with his black trench coat and leather gloves gave him the distinct otherworldly air of a cartoon supervillain. I sat and studied him for a moment, unsure of how best to respond. At first, I assumed he hadn't heard my question. But that wouldn't explain why he was standing there, grinning and tapping the counter and staring straight ahead. Not at me, but at something high on the wall behind me. I cleared my throat. Tap, 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 tap. The man continued to tap and stare. "Hey, mister," I said directly. "You okay? Are you having a stroke or something? Do you want me to call an ambulance?"
"How's your math, Jack?"
His voice was deep and gravelly, about a half step up from a growl. I took a moment to make sure I understood the question before answering, but the extra time didn't help any. No matter how I rolled it around in my mind, his question didn't make any sense. I decided to proceed with caution. "I'm sorry, did you just ask about my math?"
"That's right."
He continued the incessant tapping with the cadence of a water drip, faster than a heartbeat, hypnotic and ever so steady. Before I realized it, the tapping had blurred into the background noise. I couldn't hear it anymore, and I couldn't look away from the man's face. "I suppose my math is just as good as the next guy's."
"Don't be modest. You're a smart cookie. You never made anything less than an A on any of your math tests in high school. Isn't that true?"
Normally, this is where a chill might run down my spine, but I was able to smother it with cold, hard logic before it had the chance. No reason to get nervous yet, I told myself. So this guy knows about my grades. Big deal. There were plenty of reasons for him to know that. He could have been working for any one of the government agencies that were keeping an eye on this place, or it could have been a lucky guess. For all I knew, I was dealing with a well-dressed tweaker hopped up on bath salts. Actually, that might be a good reason to get nervous. In my experience, those on mind-altering drugs should be treated like sleepwalkers. Keep them away from vehicles and sharp objects, give them plenty of space, and be careful not to bring them crashing back to reality all at once, or someone could get hurt. He didn't look like a traditional junkie, but just to stay on the safe side, I humored him. Schools around here have pretty low standards. My last three math teachers were all named Coach. Everyone gets an A if they want one.
"But you understand things, don't you? Things others don't. You're special, Jack, and you should be proud of it."
"I can assure you, special doesn't mean good."
"Take the damn compliment, Jack."
"Okay. Thank you."
"Let me give you a quick math problem. 150,000 people die every single day. That seems like a lot, doesn't it?"
He paused. "That's not a math problem," I said.
"The wait was a courtesy. To let you cry or mourn or whatever it is you do."
"No, I'm good."
"Well, okay then. If 150,000 people die every day, then how often does a single human die? A real person, leading a real life, full of experiences, relationships, memories, good and bad, a monumental event. The only thing in life that's certain yet the least understood. How frequently would you say that happens? On average?"
"About once every 576 milliseconds," answered. He lowered his gaze until his face was pointed at mine. From where I sat, I could see my own face reflected in his glasses as he spoke.
"How remarkable. You did that all in your head. Even smarter than I..."
"No, of course not. You think I'd be working here if I could do that sort of stuff in my head? My phone has a calculator. Check it out." I held up my cell phone for him to see the screen. He inspected my work and grunted.
0.567 seconds. You have any sense of the scale? Think about it. In the time it takes to say Mississippi, two people have died. In the time it takes to boil an egg, 1,000 people will die. In the time it takes to gestate a baby, 40 million people, over twice the population of New York State, will perish.
I could tell he was prepared to go all night if I didn't interrupt. "Okay, I get it. Death is not an anomaly. It's a certainty. We're all doomed from the moment we're born. Life is suffering. Free will is an illusion. The cake is a lie. So what? What's your point?"
He said nothing. His only answer was...